Well, we've been making a very big deal about the fact that Rabbi David Heber is joining us this morning. After all, it is total eclipse day, and Rabbi Heber revealed to me that he's going to be in a city today, which is going to enjoy eclipse totality. The path of totality is a term we never heard before this whole eclipse thing started. And Rabbi David Heber, by the way, has a shiur, which he'll tell us about in a moment, on Torah Anytime regarding the total solar eclipse. Rabbi David Heber, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Good morning. Good morning, Malcolm. Good morning to all your listeners.
This is the first time, as far as I know, that you are reporting to us from Dallas, Texas. Am I right?
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Why Dallas, by the way? Especially, you told me you spent Shabbos in St. Louis, your old stomping grounds. I didn't realize until, you know, I'm not a big eclipse guy. I didn't realize until I saw the map yesterday that there are a lot of major cities, including ones with major Jewish communities that are in the path of totality. I'm sure you know what the path of totality is, Rabbi Heber. Why Dallas? Why did you choose to travel from the east, from the eastern seaboard to Dallas, Texas?
Okay, that's a good question. Probably about close to a year ago, or maybe 3/4 of a year, we were discussing where a good place to be is, and there was shiurim here as well. I was in touch with the Kohl here in Dallas Data that in the end ran a wonderful program yesterday and today with the various shiurim on the topic of the eclipse for the local community, and people came in from a number of cities to the Dallas Kohl, and they had this wonderful program. So, you know, when you're looking back guessing what city is gonna have the best chance at sunshine, which is what you need to see to actually see the eclipse. Anywhere you are in totality, it's going to get dark,
right?
Pretty dark. But to actually see it, here's the best chance. The only problem is it doesn't always work out that way. And that remains to be seen today. The path of totality has a lot of question marks along the way regarding, you know, if it's going to be cloudy or not. But it seems to be the best chance. But then again, who would have guessed that Maine is going to be the absolutely best place with the best chance to see it? You never know that. So that's how. So I went to St. Louis for Shabbos and had a number of shiurim there on the topic, and down here yesterday morning.
What's their totality percentage in St. Louis? Because I know in New York we're like around 85%.
Yeah, St. Louis is actually about 99%, but if you drive about an hour south, you're going to get 100%.
So Cleveland and Rochester lost out because Rabbi Heber assumed, and he actually tried to guess well here, that of all the cities along the route, Dallas might prove to be having the best weather. And that makes sense because, you know, like you said, you know, that you'd expect that they would have the better weather than most of the other cities that are in the path of totality. By the way, how many shiurim can you give about an eclipse? Like, I mean, how many topics are there, Rabbi Heber?
So, I spoke in different places, a lot of the, you know, the different aspects, but the similar aspects, like the school, I was in some schools and in yeshiva, and so, you know, some of it the same, but some people yesterday spoke on different opinions of the sun and the moon and the meaning of the eclipse, and and then calendar, I got off on a tangent to, you know, your favorite topic. When you're looking at it, the Maylot, it's really the day of the Maylot also. Right. And how an eclipse always occurs around Rosh Chodesh, and that explanation. I was in Cleveland last Sunday to speak, and you know, also in the path of totality. The announcement was that I'm going to Dallas. Last week, it looked like Dallas is going to be for sure cloudy, and Cleveland would be great. And it was said, okay, I may be back. I actually thought I may be going back.
you gave the warning. You might be returning. Meanwhile, it's funny because, and I have to give a shout out to Josh Levine. He was the one who reminded me that we must get you on for the eclipse. I never dreamed that it would actually be the eclipse morning. This is wonderful. You haven't gone to Shacharis yet in Dallas, and you are going to be going soon. So it's great to spend this time with you. And then I got to give a shout out to Michael Appel. He wrote to me, I heard your discussion with Matis because, as you know, my dear friend Matis Weingast is a sun, moon, and stargazer. So we had a discussion on the air on Friday about the eclipse. If I understood correctly, Michael Appel writes, you were wondering whether it always happens around Rosh Chodesh or if it's just a coincidence. A solar eclipse requires the moon to be between the earth and the sun. By definition, this happens only at the new moon. Look what I found out, Rabbi Heber. I never knew this. Obviously, you did.
Right, right, correct. That was actually part of this year, but again, because the real question is, why doesn't it happen every month? Because as we know, the moon, the new moon, which is the impetus for a Shchedesh, is when the moon is between the sun and the earth. You don't see anything, and then it crosses the finish line and then starts over again. That, by definition, has to be Rosh Chodesh. So if you remember, in 2017, the total solar eclipse, which crossed from the west coast to the east coast, that was Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. The next total solar eclipse visible from anywhere in the continent of the United States, and that for another 20 years.
Right.
And that's going to be an Elul of 20 years from now, 2044.
August of that year, literally Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, right?
Correct. Yeah. You got to go to Montana or North Dakota. So I'm for that one. That's in 2045, there'll be one, though, and it'll look better.
Don't worry, Rabbi Heber. With the way the Hasidic community is growing, you think it's only Jersey City and Linden? They'll be in Montana by then. That I can tell you. So then he writes here, this is again Michael Appel, Sosman Kiddush Levana is approximately the time of the full moon. However, these times are approximations of the actual events. He's saying that when we announce the Molad, or when we announce that Kiddush Levana, the deadline is coming for Kiddush Levana, it's based obviously on the position of the moon, but these are approximations. I guess so. It's
approximation I'm going to change that word to average.
Average.
It comes out, if you notice, the Molad time, like I speak about this in the shiur that's on Torah Anytime in detail, but and also the program yesterday is on Torah Anytime as well, the full program. And I had a shiur I gave 2 weeks ago as well, but on there I get into this exact topic, and that is, if you listen carefully to the Maylad, it was 10:57 and 7 Chalakim, Chalak is 3 1/3 seconds. Right. That's if you break that time down to East Coast time, let's say it's off, and the reason for that is because the Maylad time that we use is an average. It is really a precise average, but the moon actually goes higher or lower, which answers this other question of, why don't we have an eclipse every month? The answer is because the moon technically is a little bit higher or lower. If a bird's eye view, it's all aligned. Every month they're aligned, but it's not in a way because it's higher or lower. It's not on a plane, flat plane. Right. But every so often, the Earth gets in the way of the moon.
The moon gets
in the way. Right? There's a lunar eclipse, which is going to be on Purim of next year. Purim's a Friday, so we got to talk about that. Next year,
right.
The next Purim is a Friday. The last time for 20 years, it's going to be on a Friday.
Yeah, because of
that night,
Shabbos being Erev Pesach, right?
Exactly right. If you go out after your Purim Seba in New York at about 3 a.m. on Purim night, you will see a lunar eclipse, which is the opposite. That's the Earth getting in the way of the sunlight shining on the sunlight's on the moon, the Earth gets
right,
away,
but because
it creates this big shift.
And the point being that's because it's a full moon, it's the middle of Adar, and because it's a full moon, you would notice the difference that it literally covers the full moon. I guess you would see some type of shining circle around the moon, right? Same way we're going to see.
It's a shadow. It becomes a shadow, and again, that's only at the full moon, because that's when it's on the opposite side, and that's when the Earth, every month the Earth gets between.
Right. All right, Rabbi Heber's with us. By the way, his last point, I want to thank Michael again. He says, if he remembers correctly, the Maharil mentions that seeing an eclipse and understanding that it's happening at a particular phase of the moon might affect the Zman of Kiddush Levana. You know about that one?
That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. To the Maharil.
We can't stump you, Rabbi Heber. We cannot stump
you. No, it's good. It's good. I speak about this in the book and the Sefer, I think. What happened to the Maharil, who was a Rishon, an early commentary.
Also a stargazer?
I assume he knew them, because the Maharil is the basis of the Ramah. The Ramah, of course, is the glosses in the Shulchan Aruch that the Ashkenazim follow, typically. So the Maharil is the one that talks about the latest time for Kiddush Levana, which is basically the halfway point between one Maylad, one time of the new moon, and the next. So if you listen to the Gabbai announce it this month, and you listen to the Gabbai announce it next month, the halfway point between the two is the latest you say Kiddush Levana, because that's when the moon starts to get smaller.
Right.
And we only say Kiddush Levana after 3 days, it gets bigger. In that very same tshuva, the Maharil writes that, but one second, if you see a total lunar eclipse, then that means you've hit the deadline, because even though, again, the milah time on your luach is based on an average, but if, and you don't have to look at the almanacs to calculate the specific time known as the milah amiti, the actual time for this month. But if you go outside and you see that total lunar eclipse, you know it's the latest time because that has to be the time of the full moon, and therefore it's too late. So the Ma'aril says this, and the Beis Yosef, which is the Shulchan Aruch in his original commentary on the tour, brings this. But what's interesting is in the actual Shulchan Aruch and Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah, who are the final say,
right,
they don't bring this. They don't bring this halacha. So technically, it would be an interesting scenario. If, let's say, next Purim, you went outside 3 a.m.
right,
and you saw, right? And then if it was 4 a.m, you say, oh my goodness, I didn't take some money yet. Right? Can you still say it or not?
Right.
Like, I don't know the exact
The naked eye is more reliable than the luach, basically, in this case.
Exactly. That is correct. That's what Meryl say.
Okay, we got to do a couple of things. I know you have to go to shul soon. By the way, I hope the folks in Dallas, know that you're in town. What are the odds of you getting an aliyah this morning or by Heber? Are the odds?
Lazy.
You're
gonna get, you would be here.
You think, yeah,
if
that's
you would
right.
be here, they say Nachum Siegel is getting lazy. But you're not here. I think I'll get it.
Trust me. I'm not so sure you're right, but I hope that they recognize you over there. All right, here we go. Couple of things, and then we'll get to the religious stuff. Number one, do you have authentic eclipse glasses, Rabbi Heber? We don't want any damage, God forbid, to Rabbi Heber's eyes. Have you prepared properly?
Yeah. So, first of all, they gave them out here. But I give a shiur on Monday nights, which unfortunately I have to miss tonight. And one of the attendees' wives work for NASA, so I have glasses that have the NASA stamp. Those are the ones I'm going to be using.
You don't just have glasses; you have the A1 set for the total eclipse. Of course you do, Rabbi Heber. Of course you do. Also,
I think the first time in my life I'll be sporting really good sunglasses.
Yeah, you better take some pictures. I'm telling you now, you better take some pictures of that. Secondly,
you should know what I spoke at Yeshiva in St. Louis at MTI, Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva, and I was demonstrating with a basketball showing, okay, here's right. the sun and right. here's the moon and here's right. the. They were taking pictures. I said, listen, don't get this picture, please. Please don't.
Yeah. I'll tell you. Oh, that's pretty funny, actually. All right, so now, your opinion. When I already have declared that even we in the New York, New Jersey area will have somewhere between 85 and 90% darkness coverage, whatever you want to call it, what is your opinion about so many millions of people going into this area of totality? Isn't it sufficient, Rabbi Heber, to experience the eclipse if it's 90%?
So they say, right? I have to admit, I've seen eclipses over the years, but the only chance of totality that I've ever had was 7 years ago when it was cloudy. But it was fascinating to see it get dark, but I didn't actually get to see the coverage. They say that a total eclipse is unbelievable.
Even compared to the 90%.
That's right. Totality has its own, beauty and the philos habayre that's unparalleled.
Wow.
So there is what to say about doing it. Again, make sure everyone has protective wear. You brought it up before. You must, kids especially, they're getting out of school then, and it's right. passing. I was on with a teacher yesterday, or a principal for the schools, and they were, concerned what's the best time, how to do it. During totality, though, you don't need it. But again, it's only when it's 100%. Right. When it's 99.9%, you need those glasses on.
Wow, unbelievable. All right, now to the religious aspect. You have to admit, Rabbi Heber, if we are calling this Niflos Habore, and I'm not arguing with that, obviously all this is Niflos Habore. If we set a bracha on it, that this would be a much more religious experience for our community than it actually is. I mean, those of us who are making fun of those who've traveled hundreds of miles to get to the area of totality would not at all be making fun if there was some type of halachic requirement to see and to bless the eclipse. You agree, I would assume.
True. To quote a Rav in Detroit, from Detroit, you have to get to Toledo. He said, if there would be a bracha, I would have driven to Toledo, but there's no bracha, so I'm not going.
Now, why is there no bracha?
That's a great question. Okay, so Chaim Kanevsky in the Sefer said that and there are questions that on this answer, and someone had to have asked this question to him because it's an obvious question, but it was, the answer was that it says Mana Peronius, which means the famous, very famous Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Tes, which has been quoted extensively, you know, in all the Shirim, is that when it's a total eclipse of the sun, it's a Simen Ra, they could have him. It's a bad simon for the nations, the world. And when it's a lunar eclipse, it's a simon ra. It's a bad simon for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, because you know they go by the counting the sun, that we use the moon, and all of the discussion on that. So in even a time of Peronius for the Umatzalim is not an exciting occasion, and therefore we don't make a bracha on something which is considered Peronius. By the way, to understand a little bit better, it's kind of like the month of Av. Right. Where they give an example, like Av is a time of Peronius, right. Even though you could predict it, you could predict an eclipse, but that's what the meaning is. Now, the obviously question on that is a rainbow has its also, it should have been a marble, and then during a tornado, right? I'm here in Texas, right? It's a tornado country, Chas Chalila, right. They shouldn't know from this, but right. At that time, you do wake a bracha there also. So this is a question that I saw, and I have not seen, I've not seen an answer, even in the name of Chaim Kanevsky. There has to be someone that asks this question to Chaim Kanevsky, because it's such an obvious question, and I'm sure he had an answer. Wow. To the best of my knowledge, I don't know where that's published. Maybe someone wrote him a letter. I don't know if I would.
You know, it's interesting, and I'm saying this in all seriousness as someone of faith. It's interesting how this is a Peronius. I'm not quite sure. Time of trouble, like, is that the way to translate it? Right. This is a symbol of a troubling time for the Umas HaOlam, for the nations of the world. And yet, in all seriousness, we see how many people are celebrating this. Like, people are making, you know, road trips. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about how everyone is, you know, the media is going nuts about it. And everyone's talking about it as if, my gosh, you know, how wonderful and how great it is that we're about to experience all this. It's kind of interesting, though.
Right, absolutely. But the note made yesterday, one of the speakers here in Dallas, was that, you know, when Klal Yisrael approaches, and this is how Klal Yisrael, the beauty of Klal Yisrael, everything we approach is through Torah lenses, meaning everyone is going to, like, celebrate, to see, and they'll take pictures, but it's by us, it's just what's the halachic significance of this? And do you make a bracha? Don't you make a bracha? And what's the spiritual, the ruchniistic meaning, and there's the sun and the moon for Bria's Olam, there's a Bairi Olam for the creation of the world, there's a creator. When you look and you see that these two celestial bodies, I mean, we say in Kel Adayin every Shabbos morning, you know, Smeichem Etzeisav Esasim Bevayam, they follow the moon as one, as Rabbi Yaakov was one of the speakers yesterday, spoke, you know, passionately about the Shemesh, and Rabbi Ari Bergman mentioned that Shemesh is from the Shirish, the word to be Mishamesh, which is the sun is Mishamesh, as great and mighty as it is out there and heats the world for you know, since Bria's Olam, since creation of the world, but it's still a Mishamesh. It's there to serve the Creator.
Right.
And again, it's a lesson to us also, as that's really ultimately our goal in life is to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Creator.
It's sort of like, I mean, what's more important than the sun? Maybe water, right? What's more important than the sun to planet Earth? And even that, the greatest,
exactly.
Even that can be blocked. Even that, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu can make an arrangement for it to have zero effect on planet Earth, which is really, it's a
exactly.
Very, very, very big insight. And by the way, look, there are sun worshippers. Is there, and by the way, I don't know if you saw this, there was a case here in New York that was just ruled on. Prisoners were suing for the right to see the eclipse. And they asked the prisoners, you know, what is it about, why do you want to do it? And some of them had religious reasons that this eclipse is there an Avodah Zarah component to this? Is there a, you know, obviously not.
Well, again, yeah, they say that's what they cover when you cover the sun. Actually, Vasikin Binyan, davening at Nates, was there because people worship the sun. Oh. And then we go out and daven through Baruch Shalom to God when the sun comes up. At that very moment when they're bowing,
right.
You know, worshiping. Again, it's not so prevalent, but Zara is less.
Right.
It's, you know, we know from the Gemara and Yuma that it's not really around as much.
Right.
But there was this word. The real excitement, though, very interesting point, comes from the rarity of this. In any location, It you will see it, a total solar eclipse every 360 years. Right. The Chaim HaSalvava says, first of all, 2 points here. Chaim HaSalvava says we should get excited about every you know, sunset. Let's have a discussion of the sunset. The moon's going to come out, and you know, the weather and everything in the world is very. We should get excited about that. But very interesting. Here's a great, interesting stat here.
Yeah,
in some places, some places they got it back and forth. Like Carbondale, Illinois, saw it 7 years ago, and we'll see it again today.
Right.
But places like London, the last eclipse was like in the 1700s, and the next one is 1,000 years later. Yerushalayim HaKadosh. Okay, you love Yerushalayim HaKadosh. Guess when the next total solar eclipses was and will be in Yerushalayim.
Tell me.
Okay, the last total solar eclipse in Yerushalayim was in the year 993. Over 1,000 years ago, if you're standing by the Kaisel HaMaravi for the last 1,000 years, you will not have seen total solar eclipse since 993.
And the next one?
The next one, listen to this. The next one is on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. In the way we count years, 6,001.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? It's the 6,000th anniversary.
What is it about this side of the earth that it gets more eclipses?
No, so that's as Earth gets. You just have to be in the right target area. I mean, right. India, they've had, and even, I think someone told me that Yisrael, they had a total solar eclipse at some point.
And
I wasn't aware, but now Yerushalayim. Wow. But the 6001 is the 6,000th anniversary of Bris Hayolam, because the way we count years, the world was created El of year one.
And by
Mishra was created year two.
Right.
Anyway, yeah.
And by the way, I think about this in the same way we think about the December solstice. When this happened 1,000 years ago, the world must have gone nuts. They didn't know what was going on. All of a sudden, it turns dark in the middle of the day.
Right. Yeah. So that was, there's some famous stories of, you know, people who were in trouble and they were a bit scientists and they were held captive somewhere and they made a prediction that if you don't release me, you know, you're going to be in big trouble. The sun is going to get covered. And there, lo and behold, they were, you know, pagan. They didn't know. They didn't know. And lo and behold, so there are some famous stories out there. I'm not so familiar with them, but
right.
Yeah, I've heard these types of legends.
I also saw that the animals, that pets are going to have a crazy reaction to what happens today, which is interesting also.
Right,
you know?
Right. So will the traffic.
None of your congregants are ready to give you a ticket to one of those airplanes that's flying above planet Earth to be next to the eclipse.
No, not quite. Maybe 20 years. Maybe I'll get that for my whatever anniversary dinner. They'll give me that.
Exactly. They'll salute all your decades of service by getting you one of those private plane rides above the eclipse. I love it, Rabbi Heber. What can I say? This has been spectacular. Let's make the commitment that you and I always make, that 20 years from now, please God, we speak about the next total eclipse in the United States right here on JM in the AM. Please God.
Bez Hashem, we should be gesund, and your listeners should stay very safe today.
That's right.
And really appreciate what this is all about, and that the sun and the moon for Klal Yisrael, you know, we're as you mentioned, this is the last day of Adar Sheni. The whole leap year is because of seasons and the sun. Everything out there, the sun and the moon and the rotations, we live it. You know, the earth spins around 24 hours. That's by us, Shachas and Chamariv.
That's right.
You're in locations where there's no sunrise when he's supposed to daven. Everything, halacha, halichas, and I'll end with this point. We say in Haftarah of Shavuos, we say halichas olam, and the famous the Gemara that says, I'll take the halichas ela halachas.
Right.
The word halacha, don't read halichas, read halachas. Halacha, which is, of course, Jewish law, is based on the word halicha. A yid is halich in serving and doing mitzvahs. So we wake up in the morning, it's maida ani and negavasser and shachris and brachas, and in the afternoon we go to work, and there's laws of how to treat other people and act, and you know, how to treat employees and employers and the payments and honesty and ribbis, you know, interest, and the daf yomi is about to start the parak on ribbis, ezeh nashach abo mitzia, and then at night, literally before you close your eyes, hamapil, everything a yid does and everything around us, and that's the beauty of Yiddishkeit is serving the Baruch Shalom, doing Torah mitzvahs, and that's what makes the Jewish religion so beautiful. And the Baruch Shalom gave us that opportunity to do that through the Torah that we received.
And one last thing about today, and I'm glad that we could say this in a public forum, because the more people who hear it, I think the greater the praise is for him. Today gives us another reminder that he's in charge of everything. We think we're in charge of anything, we're in charge of nothing. He is in charge of everything.
Absolutely.
enjoy, Rabbi Heber. Enjoy and have a great trip back to the East Coast. And I really, really hope that Dallas is bathed in sunshine today. Because if it is, then you'll have the best eclipse experience possible.
I don't really beg, but hopefully we'll get it. Take care.
Bye, and think of me when they call you up for Levy down there, the Lodestar State. Rabbi David Heber, everybody. Today is Eclipse Day. And, of course, JM and the AM has a take on the eclipse. Most importantly, that he, with a capital H, is in charge of everything.